Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I am one third of your hosts. Ooh. I guess I don't know. We got more of a guest.
A third. Yeah.
We'll say I'm still half of your hosts, Lee Brushnight, and I'm joined here, of course, with the lovely, lovely Mark Davis,
the better half.
The better half.
How are you?
I'm great.
We're both a little under the weather.
I say I'm great. I mean, I feel great on the inside, but on the outside, where all my nasal cavities are, I've got a bit of a Christmas cold.
A little bit of a Christmas cold.
Yeah.
I'm also coming down with the Christmas cold, and we're under the weather even literally because there's a little rain outside.
Yeah.
A little gloomy.
That's as much as we get winter down here. It's like a little winter rain.
Cold rain.
Down here in Florida. Absolutely. But
We have a ray of sunshine.
We do have a ray of
sunshine. We've got sunshine on a cloudy day.
I guess you say, who is sitting in the guest chair? It's Adam.
Talking about
Adam
Prowitz.
That's me.
We teased Adam's coming on the show a couple weeks ago. Oh. Adam is our quizmaster friend who now resides in China.
That's correct.
Indeed. Yeah. Formerly not a quizmaster.
Formerly a
quiz enthusiast.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were pretty solid at Nice Guys Trivia with Mark every week before you moved.
Four-ish years?
Yeah, yeah. He was he and his wife Charity were two of the first people to start coming to my trivia regularly.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say is, what's different about trivia in China? It seems like it would be very different.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about the trivia that I run. So I decided to start a trivia just because I like playing trivia. And so I found a local brewery, a new brewery in the city where we live, Chongqing. And the brewery has an extra funny name. They don't speak a whole lot of English, so they named the place Fashioning Beer.
Okay.
I think they're trying to say they're the makers of the beer,
craft beer.
Yeah, and I basically just went in there one day and checked the place out. The beer was good, and I said, "How would you guys like if I brought like 30 people in here every week?"
And they said, "We'd hate that. Please don't give us money."
Exactly.
Please.
So
that's awesome. So it's pretty much it's very similar then. It's a pub atmosphere. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Over there.
The part that's interesting is that almost completely I know everyone in the audience. So almost everyone works with me.
Okay.
So I do trivia in English, and so the whole crew is English speaking. And I would say probably 95% of them are also my colleagues.
Okay, interesting. Oh. I was going to ask. Yeah. So you hosted it in English. Mm-hmm. So there's not a language. I was wondering if there was going to be like a language like challenge for you if you were hosting it in China. Would you consider hosting it in Chinese?
If I spoke enough Chinese, I absolutely would.
Yeah. But you feel like you'd be at a disadvantage.
Oh, major disadvantage.
Yeah.
I will say this. So the group is very diverse. So saying that they all work with me doesn't mean they're not from diverse backgrounds. So we typically have over 10 different countries represented.
Okay.
In a group of 20.
That's amazing. I mean, that's not something that Mark or I ever typically do with. It's pretty much just Floridians, Southwest Floridians. And occasionally this time of year, we'll get snowbirds from the northern United States. But 10 different backgrounds. So how do you mitigate that in terms of like the pop culture references and the question selection?
So that was something I wanted to talk about today with you guys, because I have to really focus on internationally minded questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Lee, you do categories and subcategories.
Oh, yeah.
Mark, you don't bother with that bullshit.
Mm-mm.
But I do categories, subcategories and sub-subcategories.
Oh, I love it.
The sub-subcategory.
I love Jesus.
Is the continent category. So I mark all of my questions with which continent that question is from, so that I can evenly disperse. So I'm not focused on everything North America and Europe. So I try to spread it out across all of my
That's awesome. Categories.
So what main continents are represented generally in your trivia?
We don't do a whole... Oh, you mean what countries?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I actually made a list for you guys.
Let's hear.
Oh, okay.
So we've got...
Adam came very prepared, by the way, listeners. Yeah. He's got his whole spreadsheet. He's more prepared than we are.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's get at it.
So we've got Germans, Czechs, Chinese, of course, Canadians, Filipinos, Indonesians, English, Irish, Northern Irish, French, Poles, Brazilians, Colombians, Serbians, Pakistanis, Ethiopians, and Australians.
Wow.
Jeez.
So are you researching constantly these backgrounds for trivia, or do you find international repositories and categorize them yourself?
I like to sit down every once in a while. I think I'm kind of like you. I like to add to my question bank, like in big chunks.
Yeah, it's
and
fun.
So yeah, it is.
It's like a day at the library on the internet.
So I'll sit down and choose a category, and then just knock out like 10 or 15 questions in that category. And then I start with the category, and then I try and find things that I already know. I like to do a lot of stuff that I'm already knowledgeable in, just cause, I feel like there's going to be, it'll be easier for me to prove these answers are the real thing if I am confident in in where it comes from.
Right. It seems like you could get really like fine-tuned and then almost too fine-tuned. And it's like if I'm asking a question about Czech cinema and only the Czech individuals are getting it.
Because I don't want that. Yeah. I want there to always be I want the questions to be hard for that group of people anyway.
Yeah.
You know, as well. So...
Is Western culture kind of the commonality? Like, is that where you...
For the most part, but we do have... Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, we have... our other foreigners are Asian, so...
Oh, okay.
Filipinos, Indonesians.
These days, though, I mean, I was going to say, you could, like, a lot of, like, the summer blockbusters is pretty much fair game in China and America.
Oh, yeah. Summer blockbusters are good. Anything from the last, like, 10 years of, like, real big movies, totally fair game.
Yeah.
But... The older stuff, not really feasible.
Yeah, so like a question about The Godfather is not going to go over well, that's big enough
because it's classic. Maybe,
But not like Phone Booth starring Colin Farrell,
right?
Or exactly. Like, what about like American television, like Charles in Charge and things like that? Because I've heard a lot of people from different countries say that they learn English by watching TV and watching TV shows.
Yeah, I asked a question about Seinfeld a couple weeks ago, and it went over fine. But also, I have Americans mixed in. And so there's probably, I don't know, maybe there's 6 or 7 Americans who are, some of them are on teams together, but they're mostly sprinkled about.
So every team's got an American.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the other thing that's
almost
really,
like a balancing rod.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really fun for me is my Chinese questions. So almost everyone that goes to my trivia is not Chinese. And so in an effort to try and get my colleagues to invite our Chinese colleagues who work at the school with us who speak English... to come to trivia, I always include 3 Chinese specific questions.
Okay,
every week.
Does that work? Like, I mean, do you get like some coming out?
Oh yeah, we get some. And so I do 3, and they're 3 in 3 different categories. So I do a Chinese word, which is super easy. They're meant to be very, very easy.
Yeah.
For Chinese speakers, and damn near impossible for us. So I have a couple samples.
Okay.
If you want a special first question.
Sure. Throw one at us in the intro here.
All right. So we've got...
Chinese trivia.
What is the Chinese word for computer?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way.
Is it...
I feel like if I was to even guess, it would be racist sounding. Because I don't even know, you know
what
I mean?
You would put some cliche suffix on it.
Well, and because it's such a tonal language, I just feel it would be...
This is sensitive for us, really, Adam. This is very... I know you've been listening, so you know about our voice thing. Sometimes we try to do voices.
Yeah.
Mainly British voices.
And
We love doing British voices.
Yeah, not happening.
We can get away with that a little bit more, probably. But is it computer?
No, it is not.
No, it's not? Oh, okay, I thought maybe it was a trick question.
I chose this one. I do one every week, so I have loads of them. But I chose this one because I think you guys are going to particularly enjoy the direct translation.
Okay.
That's the fun thing about Chinese. Translate when they need it. To make a new word, mm-hmm. the only thing they have to go from is all the words they already have, so they make a combination.
Right. Like electric abacus.
Mm-hmm. So, ooh, man. So you got super close there. So
I knew it would
so
be something like that.
So the Chinese word is dian nao. Uh-huh. Dian nao. And dian is electricity. And nao is brain. So the word for computer is electricity brain.
I love that.
I probably said calculator.
Yeah. Well, isn't that electric abacus?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Electric abacus is probably calculator.
But a lot of people consider the abacus to
be the
first computer.
Did you just come up with that now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great guess.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I thought that was another trivia. Like that's like you knew
I knew that about a lot of foreign languages where they just basically put words together. They do the same thing for Esperanto, the international language, where they've only got so many words. So now, when new things happen, when they get like the national Esperanto speakers together, they'll come up with new words for new things. And so when things like you know, Twitter comes up, they'll have to like just take the word for tweet or whatever, or bird song, and like switch it a little bit and make it so it's something they can say.
Yeah. I think, you know, if any of your Chinese colleagues are listening to this, maybe we did ask, I think I asked one question related to Chinese culture on the podcast. Do you remember that, Adam? I think the question was something like, what is in Chinese culture, what is the fruit that is the symbol for immortality?
Oh, no, or it was Christmas. It was the Christmas fruit because it sounds like...
That was me.
That was you, right?
Yeah, I know I had asked that maybe before you guys left. But yeah, because it's... as a matter of fact, I was looking through today for some Christmas questions and came across that one because it's homophonous to the Chinese word for New Year. It's apple.
Yeah. Right.
Yep,
but I think on the podcast, I think I asked about this other one.
Oh, okay.
And I think, so you don't remember this, do you?
Mm-mm.
I believe it's the peach. Does that sound right, Adam? I don't know. He's shrugging.
The peach? like sounds that was good the question. Me. That's not a question. That's just a fruit.
No. What is the symbol of immortality?
Oh, symbol of immortality.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not an expert on Chinese culture for sure. And I don't.
I didn't know if it was one of those things where you just go over there and there's peaches on every corner or something like that. Long life to you. Okay. Well, thanks for joining us, Adam. I can't wait to hear more of the questions. Is there any other story? Like, do you have any like crazy trivia stories or like maybe something that happened that you didn't expect to happen when you first started hosting over there? It seems like you went in pretty strong because right before you left, I know you sent me a spreadsheet and you were like, you should try out my spreadsheet here.
He's a spreadsheet wizard.
Yeah, I've got some stuff to talk about on that I think you guys will be real interested in.
Okay. All
right. I think you'll really, this is where we start getting really nerdy, but I think you'll really love Lee's spreadsheet. I don't know if it's the same one that you had like put together, but I know when you hosted for me, and I guess you first got the taste for trivia hosting, I came back and you were like, hey, look what I did. I did the spreadsheet and I did this, and you can put questions in here, and whichever one is hardest, they get the most points for that. And I was just blown away.
As well.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on the topic of spreadsheets, why don't we do a rate my question? We actually have a spreadsheet related to rate my question sent in. So let's go ahead.
Look at how perfect that is. Rate my question.
Okay, so we have a rate my question here from Josh from Michigan.
Okay.
Josh says, I started listening to your podcast about 2 weeks ago. I'm already 11 episodes in. I love listening to you guys and your assorted guests banter and laugh. Banter and laugh. So don't forget to laugh, Adam. Give us a hearty laugh for Josh.
You fucking laugh right now. What a good time.
I don't know much about trivia, but some answers I do know. I'm shouting out loud in 7 a.m. traffic that the video game based off of a bad hair day was, in fact, Conker's Bad Fur Day. I've become the annoying friend that always asks, hey, do you know this? Now, I have a couple of Excel and ingrown toenail related questions that you might want to add to your question reservoirs. I was bored at work today after having two ingrown toenails removed. So these are hot subjects.
The worst. It's disgusting.
It's an interesting combo.
You know, sometimes
like, what's on the top of my head right now?
Sometimes they'll pour acid in there to kill the nail.
Oh, that is one of the questions.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Look at that.
Josh wants to know, what is the acid that they put in? And I thought you might like this question since you're always asking about periodic table and shit. This is some
so chemistry. What kind of acid do they use?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
I know.
No. I'm repeating. What kind of acid do they use? That's the question.
There's sulfuric.
Yeah.
Sulfuric. It can't be anything as soft as citric acid.
Yeah, we're not talking stomach acid.
A squeeze of lemon? Citric acid?
I don't know. Pick one of those two.
I don't know. Sulfuric, maybe?
I'll rate this question high. This is a good question.
Yeah.
It makes you realize you don't know many different kinds of acids. I don't know. I would say... What do they use sulfuric acid for?
I have no idea.
Okay, great. Let's go with sulfuric acid.
Apparently, it's phenol. Phenol. P-H-E-N-O-L, which is some kind of... it's an aromatic organic compound.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's very acidic, I guess.
That's one question that Josh has. Josh also writes, thank you guys for being so fun and entertaining. Makes my daily commute so much better. Best regards, Josh. The other question, the spreadsheet-related question, what letters, Adam maybe know this, what letters identify the rightmost column in Excel?
The rightmost?
The rightmost.
Well,
what letters?
You can continue adding additional columns.
Mm-hmm. So maybe this is the default position.
Default position?
Or the default letters.
If it's the default, I would say maybe double C, CC.
Yeah, I don't know. I did not recognize this answer. The answer he has written down here is XFD. Does that sound familiar? Just from looking at this question at first, I was like, I don't know about this question. I would maybe say in Excel, what does XFD usually indicate? You're looking at your Excel right now?
It's actually Google Sheets, but I was just looking, but I only have up to Z and on this one, so I don't know. If I remember correctly, after Z, it goes like AA, BB.
Right. Well, that's how CC. It is on Sheets. For sure. Yeah.
So maybe I'm just spending too much time in Google Sheets.
I really don't know. I'm not a fan of this question. I like the phenol question a lot better.
Yeah, I think that one's strong. I think this one is not. It's not weak because it's easy. It's weak because it's so refined
information. Yeah. You know, it's so like it's really technical in nature.
So I Googled it and. Yeah. A lot of people are just like asking questions about it. The last column in Excel sheet is XFD. How can I reach it quickly by any shortcut? So I guess like maybe there is a...
maybe that's the limit.
There's like the end to the rainbow. Yeah, where it's just like when there's no more, it's called XFD. Like fucking be done.
Doesn't it double up after Z? I thought it did. I'm going
to
add
Well, I'm saying that maybe it doubles up to double Z and then it's XFD. Like... XFD is just as far as you can go.
I thought XFD was like extreme fucking Disney. I don't know. Isn't there like an XD channel or something? Disney channel or something?
Disney.
I don't know.
It's like know Minnie Mouse. Disney could become
getting extreme. Fucked by Pluto or something.
Josh, on that note, thank you for the fabulous rate my questions.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know, you get 50% there. You know, one good one, one. I don't know. I just think maybe it could be rewritten too in a more interesting way.
Yeah.
Maybe saying in Excel, what does XFD indicate?
How you write questions is a big part of.
Yeah.
I think that's a tough one to even rewrite.
Right. Yeah. But thanks for writing, Josh. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go ahead and get into our weekly wrap up right now. On Thursday last week at number 3, we had Meme Team, who won with 63 points. Then on Monday at 3 Pepper, it was Saturated Human. Actually, the 3 Pepper House team took the victory that night. And we had earlier in the night, Drew said, if I win, I want something crazy to happen. Because what I was doing is I asked, it's the last one that we had there for the whole year. So what I did was I asked all the questions that I'd asked that year that nobody got right the first time around. So it was a bit of, let's see who learned the most, who retained the most information. And Drew did have a good chance because he works there. He's been there every single week, you know, paying attention. So there was a chance that he was going to win, and it would be unfair to give him the prize. So he was like, let's do something crazy. If I win, let's have a tiebreaker between the second place team and the last place team, like an instant lightning round.
Wow.
So that's what we did. We had Lily Lou's team and Seth ended up being those two. Seth was in second place at the time. Lily Lou, Nick from Lily Lou came up. And I asked them the following question, and as you know, I like to throw those, like, easy questions out, but this one had a little twist to it.
Okay.
I asked, on the playing card, the Seven of Hearts, how many hearts are on the card? And right away, Nick yelled out 7, and then realized his mistake in forgetting the 2 underneath in the number.
9.
And Seth said calmly, 9, taking the victory that night.
If I was Seth and I lost to the last place team on a tiebreaker,
yeah,
I would have been very, very miffed.
Steam would have been coming out of his ears. Moving on.
Even if I was me.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have been miffed.
Right, that's true. But, you know, he got it. He got it. So,
good.
No harm, no foul. Wednesday this week at our special Christmas-themed trivia, the Casseroles won with 113 points, beating out 12 other teams. Pretty decent-sized night there. How did your teams do last night at Nice Guys, Mark?
They did well. Adam actually came out, so it was great to see him out there representing. The team that he was on won the first two rounds pretty handily right off the bat. Their team name was Indiana Bones and the Temple of Poon.
Very nice.
And then the last round, we had a perfect round by a team called Bold and Brash. And it was a pretty tough round. I mean, it wasn't impossible, but it was pretty hard. The last question was a hard one. And so I walked up to him and I said, I just looked at him, gave him the eye. I was like, did you guys cheat? And was like, no, it was my grandfather's favorite song. I was like, you didn't just get the last question right. You got the whole round right. And she was like, oh, cool. I was like, did you guys cheat? No, we didn't cheat. You sure? Yep. Now, two of these women have come a couple times and had a little bit of a rapport with them. And then they were there with this other woman. And she was kind of like the leader. She was like kind of talking to me more than the other ones. I was like, all right, okay, if you say you didn't cheat, fine. So I go back, I announce the winners, blah, 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 say the last one. And of course, Jamie and everybody on his team are like, okay, like that seems a little sketchy. So I know it seems sketchy. They said they didn't cheat. So then I go, all right, well, you know, they win, blah, blah, blah. They left. They just vanished.
Oh, they felt bad.
Yep.
Wow, that's so interesting. They couldn't admit to your face.
This is not the first time that that's happened. And this is another thing that, like, you know, I don't know that I've ever had someone cheat where it was, like, thought that they've cheated, that they've stuck around. Mm-hmm. They always, it's almost like they do it thinking they can, like, get away with it. But as soon as they're called out and they realize that, like, other people are actually, like, playing, they always end up slinking back to, like, wherever they came from. And so we ended up having all three rounds won by Indiana Bones and the Temple of Poon.
Rightfully so.
Well-deserved, apparently.
Absolutely.
Well-deserved.
Yeah.
They did a great job. Cheaters. What was the name of that team? Do you remember the cheating team?
Bold and Brash.
Yeah.
Isn't that ironic?
Don't you think?
So, yeah. Good night of trivia.
Well, congratulations, Adam. Fresh off a victory here, our guest, Adam. Let's see here. Our schedule coming up, taking the Monday holidays off, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve, they're both on Mondays this year. We will be off at Three Pepper for the next couple weeks, but we'll be back at the Burrito Spot on Monday, January 7th, 2019. On Wednesday, December 26th, No Nonsense Trivia will be at Bury Me Brewing Company for a post-Christmas edition of the Trivia Challenge, 3 rounds, starting at 7 p.m. After that, we'll all get in our cars and go over and visit Mark at Nice Guys Pizza Trivia. What time's that start, Mark?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza. And then we'll be at number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar on Thursday, December 27th. That's in Cape Coral. For more information about all of our live events, go to nononsensetrivia.com. All of the no-nonsense events are free to play. You can win various prizes throughout the night. Join us.
Won't you?
Very soulful, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Very beautiful.
Three-part harmony.
We did not practice that at all, if you can believe it.
We just found our place.
I've been practicing at home.
Right on. Yeah, feel free to sing along at home, guys. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break now, and then we'll be back in round one with some real-deal trivia coming your way.
Yeah.
And we're back. Before we get into round number one, we've got a miscorrection.
Miscorrections.
Ooh. In stereo.
Hard pan. In post.
Yeah.
I want the right ear. I want him to have the left ear. Hard pan.
We'll do what we can. And we like what we do. Okay. What's our miscorrection, Mark?
Our miscorrection came from Mike. Or Michael C.
I was going to say, the one guy that doesn't want his last name on the podcast.
Yeah, let's take that again. Can you put a beep over his last name make it sound all official? Yeah, we got
official? It. I'll get a beep in there.
He said, you probably got this correction already, which I hadn't, but Lee was wrong about the first elements of the periodic table, and I don't think...
Of course I was. I got the question wrong, didn't
I? And I don't think borium is a thing. Maybe boron or barium. The third element.
I was thinking that when I was listening.
That's what happens when you blindly watch YouTube videos.
I was driving and I thought boron. I couldn't look it up. I was
so
like, what?
Boron is the fifth element. Beryllium is the fourth. The third is lithium, which I don't know what the fuck that has to do with a bee popping a balloon. Maybe he was high on lithium.
I gotta find this video and just link really to it should. At least to
you
vindicate
fucking
myself.
Comment real quick and be like
the point being. I mean, I'm consistent at least. I do not know my periodic table. That is the whole point of these questions. And I don't know when it's gonna be. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be next year. But one day, you can get one of those questions right.
All
right. And there will be a sea change in my life because I will be prepared for all. But
perfect.
Maybe just looking at the periodic table and not trying to deal with these memory experts on YouTube.
Right. I think real quick we wanted to talk to Adam.
Yes.
About scoring.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. You have a unique scoring system, you're telling us.
I do. How many
questions do you ask?
I ask same as you, so three rounds of six.
So you learned from Papa Mark.
I did. I learned from Papa Mark.
Aw.
And that time that I hosted in your stead,
yes.
You gave me your spreadsheet, and then I took it and made some, you know, alterations of my own.
Some very impressive alterations.
Adam, I feel like, if I could just interject, you and me sitting in front of Mark right now, this is like that episode of Star Trek where Data meets his evil twin brother, and they're both like, you know, I've been living here with him, you know, and you're like coming back. Yeah. Anyway, please continue, brother, dark brother.
I am a high school computer science teacher, so computer science is my thing. So I have taken the spreadsheet and kind of overhauled it with some scripts, a bit of programming. So what my sheet does is when I'm scoring at the end of the round, I put in ones and zeros. Kind of in binary.
A.K.A. binary.
Yeah, in binary. I enter whether, you know, one for a team that got the correct answer, zero for an incorrect answer, all the way down. And then after I've entered all the scores, it does it by percentage. So my algorithm takes over. Question difficulty is ranked. And then the hardest question receives 8 points. The next hardest receives 7, 6, and so on, down to 3. And then this system also allows me to double points very easily because I can just put a 2 and it multiplies times the point ranking. And then it also, I can at any time override my whole system because I occasionally do, you know, like list all the 12 animals of the Chinese zodiac, like 1 point for each one. And so then I can put in a 1 point and then I put in the number they got correct and then... does all the multiplication.
Interesting.
But I think it's pretty cool because it always, without fail, rates the hardest question of the round for tonight with the highest points.
Yeah. You're using that electric brain.
I'm using that electric brain for sure.
I was trying to think of how to say it, but
me too.
instantly got worried.
And I live in China, and I was trying to think of how to say
it. Any plans to like flesh us out and license it, or like you're just it's just a journeyman, just like, a trivia quizmaster journeyman building your tool.
I just that's something that I love about programming, and I'm sure any of the listeners out there who are programmers know what I'm talking about. Just doing the programming is super fun for
me.
It's just solving the problem, you know, creating this tool that I didn't have before.
That's really awesome.
I wonder what the overlap is between computer programmers and quizmasters, you know.
Pretty high, probably.
Well, I was gonna say I would think that it's, you know, I mean, I think that nerds are nerds at the gut of it.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like non-nerdy people don't have, I don't know, many sit-at-home obsessions, you know? You're either, like, into sports and physical activity, which gets you outside and doing that stuff, or you're at something where you're sitting at home and just seems like most of the nerdy people I know love
to tinker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love to tinker and love to find out why things work the way they work.
Another thing that I love about it is that I keep track of the data on the questions.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So all the questions that I'm going to ask you guys for my trivia over the last 7 weeks, I will, after you answer, I'll give you the percentage that got it correct.
Oh, that's
the
awesome.
Night I asked.
So you like this? Would you use a bell curve kind of system for?
I don't. Points? I mean, I would like to take a look at it and see it in action in an environment. But it's interesting for sure. I find it as interesting as like Chris's, the guy who knows everything from Portland. His system, you know, I'm curious to see.
Sounded,
I
mean, really cool.
I like yours. Yours seems very automated.
Automated.
Yeah, it just gives you the data that you need. And for example, I could probably use it because, as I mentioned on Monday, I was asking only questions that nobody had gotten right the first time around.
And I could
around.
Sort my sheet
right. I'm by, doing it manually. I'm like looking
that's
at the
insane,
score sheet. I know, so much time being wasted. But that's very interesting.
But see, I like that. There's something about the bell curve system that I don't like. And even when he showed it to me, I felt like I had to take a shower. There's something that I like that part of the trivia, part of me playing trivia, I guess, when I'm hosting, is trying to guess what people are and aren't going to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something I like about me kind of rolling the dice on... you know, kind of like, I guess, gambling on, you know, thinking that something is going to be really hard. There was a question I asked last night that I was like, oh, no one's going to get this. And I put 7 points to it. And almost every team got it right. And I was shocked, you know.
Yeah.
But I like that. I mean, like that all those teams kind of get that bump up. And it seems to me kind of with you, like how you were thinking about doing the giving everybody a point just for writing down an answer or whatever.
Yeah.
Well,
I did try that once, but
yes.
It was met with
disapproval.
Pitchforks and right. torches.
I absolutely hate that idea.
But that artificially like conflating people's points sometimes can be good.
Yeah.
And it seems like with Adams, like maybe if you have a team that was having a rough go of it, they ended up with like 3 points at the end of the night because all the easy questions that they got were questions that everyone got. And, you know, I don't know. I like that roll of the dice.
I think there's room in the middle because I totally agree with you. Like, I love giving out like pity points, for example. Somebody writes down a clever answer or an answer that's just so wrong, and I know it's not going to make a huge difference. You know, I might say like, oh, you know what? I'm going to give you a pity point for that one because I read it to the audience and everybody laughed.
I do that as well, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I was going to say with yours, though, you know, I mean, Mark, what you just described, that's enjoyable to you. But in a sense, like this system that Adam has, he can actually like kind of predict success rate in the players and have like a really balanced game, which lately...
That's the whole point of... You know, like balancing the...
You're taking the actual data in.
Making sure that teams that answer... That are the only team that answered the question...
Yeah.
Get the points they deserve for that difficult question.
Well, let's give these listeners what they deserve, which is some trivia. I mean, you know, our time with Adam is limited, so we're trying to juice him for all he's got right now. Before we get started with the questions, though, we do have to give a special shout-out thank you to our Patreon... supporters, our patrons themselves, the Rumpelsnailskins, the Mikes. We have our proverbial light keepers, Moist Max, Moist Lucas, and we've forgotten about wonderful Sherry the last couple weeks.
Oh, I didn't know Sherry was a Patreon supporter.
Yeah, I dropped the ball on that, I think.
Wow.
We had
cold.
Max. I know. And
that's
it couldn't happen to a nicer gal.
To a sweeter human being.
Yeah.
Seriously, thank you so much, Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry, from the bottom of our hearts.
You're on
thank
the
you.
List now. You're
we
on
need
the list.
To, we need to make up a couple weeks.
Yep.
Sherry, baby. You know that song?
Is that
Frankie
is that?
Valli?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to put that on the
I say
playlist.
It to her every once in a while. So
yeah.
Now she can hear that.
Good.
And she can just replay it.
Sherry!
It was
baby!
A very.
Is that how it goes?
Something.
Okay, I'll listen to the song first before I try singing it again. And our newest proverbial lightkeeper, Sean, from the Cobblecast Beard Salad crew, coming through this week, actually got that connection going on the Patreon. Boom. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean, so much. Thank you.
And our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. It is now time for some trivia. That's right. We're only a half hour into this thing.
and the time has come.
It is finally time for some trivia. So, well, we've got three Quizmasters sitting here. Who wants to go first?
Why don't you go first today, Lee?
I will. I have written in my notes here, actually, Lee goes first in my script. So it works out. It works out. Correct, Mark. Correct.
You should read the stage directions in your script. Lee goes first, period.
Here's the subcategory on this is country nicknames. Ooh. And the subcategory is Asia.
Ooh, yeah. I
figured since we had you here, you guys can team up on this one. Here it is. Because the country is at such a high altitude, Tibet is known by what structural nickname? What structural nickname is the country of Tibet known as?
Is that
because of its high altitude?
Stairway to Heaven?
Structural nickname.
Scaffold.
Scaffold. Skid up, scaffold. I'm the scaffold.
Structural.
Skid up, steeple. Scaffold is pretty good.
I guess I got you guys on this one.
Can I get it one more time?
Yeah. Because the country is at such a high altitude, Tibet is known by what structural nickname?
I guess because you started saying S, I thought it had something to do with the letter S. Hmm. So it's such a high altitude. Structural nickname.
Skyscraper.
Why do you keep going with S's? You're screwing me up.
Structural has an S in it. I don't know, man.
what else?
I thought you might know this, Adam. I was like, this one's a shoo-in. Yeah. A shoo-in for him.
A lot of S's.
Maybe it's monk e-bars. Get it? Tibetan monks, guys? No?
Very good, Mark. Very good.
Thank you. Really rough.
Thank you. Jeez, I'm crow. This is tough.
All right, I might have to call time here.
Yeah, let's go with...
Scaffold your final answer?
No, not at all.
Structural nickname, high altitude. Wind, weather vane? Just trying to think of something that's... the antenna?
The roof of the world?
Yeah.
The ceiling?
Let's go with a roof.
The roof of the world is correct.
Holy shit!
I was like, does he know it?
No fucking way.
For real?
Yep.
Roof of the world.
That's right. Amazing.
The roof of the world.
I really didn't know. That was just. I was just sussing it out, as you like to say. That's not too many S's for you.
You done sussed.
Holy cow.
You done sussed.
Well done.
Yeah.
You sussed away. Okay. It's my turn. What M word did San Diego ban from public documents in April of 2001 because it was deemed too offensive to minorities? What M word, M as in Mark, mm-hmm. What M word did San Diego ban from public documents in 2001 because it was deemed offensive to minorities?
Hmm.
Now, you were at trivia. You heard this question already, Adam?
No.
This is repository. You're welcome.
Oh, I actually know this one.
You do?
I do.
All right. Do you want to take a guess? Yeah, let me think about it. M word.
This could be one of those situations where I'm like, I know it. And then I say the wrong thing, but I'm like 99% sure on this one.
Migrant. That's not offensive.
It was deemed offensive.
Deemed offensive.
Which is a matter of opinion.
I don't know.
Brought to you by McDonald's delicious half-cut tea.
We're all drinking beverages here.
How about Mick? I mean, that's not necessarily an M word, but
offensive to minorities. All minorities would be offended by that.
Some minorities would.
Some would.
The Irish,
mm-hmm.
The Scottish,
yeah,
the Scots and Irish.
That's not the answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do we got?
The answer is minority.
That's correct.
Yep. Wow. Yeah.
Which
the word minority.
That's a very interesting question.
I have some problems with that. The mentality behind that.
Maybe we'll save that for Patreon.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of a factual statement. The minority group is the one with less numbers.
Minority has a definition that's very...
Yeah, it seems innocuous to me.
I agree.
Or innocuous, not innocuous. What, that's like not able to see.
Yeah. It seems blinding.
Yeah. Okay, so Adam, do you have a question for us?
I do. I'm going to see which one I should... let's do this one. Okay. So this one, protanopia, is a very common, incurable medical condition found more often in men than in women. What is the common name for protanopia?
It's more commonly found in men.
Can you spell it?
I can. It's protanopia.
Yeah, that A screwed me up a little bit because I was thinking proto, but prota.
Prota.
Protanopia. It happens more often in men than women.
Correct.
And what did you say in the beginning?
It's incurable. It cannot be cured. It's a medical condition.
And it's more commonly known by what name is what you're looking
for. Exactly, yeah.
I don't know why. I'm thinking baldness.
That's definitely something that men have more than women. I think that's a good guess.
Yeah. I mean, can it be cured? I mean, is a transplant considered a cure?
Well, that was the other thing. Because I was thinking of something like color blindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, oh, well, that's incurable. They have glasses for it, but not curable.
You know, actually, I like that a little bit more. That is another ailment that affects men more than women, actually. So I
have a feeling we're going to go with that, and it's going to be baldness.
I'm thinking of proton, or prota. I'm thinking
proton. Because I was thinking like proto, like, like a prototype.
Yeah.
But it's prota.
I like your guess better. Color blindness. You want to go with it?
No.
Oh.
But we can.
What, you want to think about it some more?
I mean, I think we're just going to kind of paint ourselves into a corner. I kind of like baldness more.
All right. We're going with
baldness.
Colorblind.
trying to read his face.
Yeah.
You choose.
Colorblindness.
Colorblindness is correct.
Yes! I believe in you. I believe in you.
How beautiful.
All right.
Wow. And that just as promised, like I said earlier, I can give you the stats.
Please give us the stats.
What are the stats?
20% of the groups got it correct.
Oh.
Well, now.
So that means we're in the 80th percentile.
You are.
Oh, boy. Beautiful. I knew I was gifted. All right, here is a question for you guys. I've been kind of digging through the news of the year. Like I said, I've been asking the hardest questions in my live trivia that nobody got right. And I came across this one, which nobody got at number 3 this year. I'll throw it your way now. This is a pop culture question. What magazine did the late actor Burt Reynolds.
His evil twin brother, Bruce Reynolds.
What magazine did actor Burt Reynolds pose nude for? We lost Bert in September of 2018.
I mean, it's got to be.
He fell in the winter.
Be Playgirl.
Yeah, it has to be.
I'm thinking. I mean,
it could be another magazine, but I don't know that I know any other.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's gonna be something like just called like Dick's Magazine. DIX.
I won't go on the record knowing another title to another magazine.
Yeah, so we're gonna go ahead and go with Playgirl.
Don't you think that somebody would have written that down and gotten it right if it was Playgirl?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a question that he has.
Nobody got it right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I don't know.
But
I'm gonna
tell you, it's not an obscure magazine.
Hmm. Could it be one of the like, you know, normal, typically men's magazines like Hustler or something like that, where he just did like a special issue? A ladies edition?
Well, it says that he was nude, but it doesn't necessarily say that you could see his twig and berries and stuff.
Oh, that's true. What about like maybe, GQ or something?
Hold on, he was moving to the mic.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, I don't believe you can see his junk in the photo.
So it could be something way more mainstream.
Yeah, it could be like
what about
Time.
GQ? Would Time put a bear backside?
I don't know, you know that you can see his back.
I love the idea of Time Magazine putting this together.
Trump was on the cover of Time, yeah. So, I mean...
Oh, see, they already put one ass on the cover.
Hey, now.
I was setting you up.
Yep. All right, I'm gonna call it on this one, guys. I don't think you're gonna get it. The answer is Cosmopolitan. Ooh. Cosmopolitan
okay.
magazine. Yeah,
that's something.
Yep, Cosmo. Rest in peace, Bert. Bruce. Bert. Yeah.
didn't Bert live over down here?
Yeah, I think he had a house down here. He was in Florida a long time. He went to Florida State. Mm. There's actually a dorm at Florida State named after him, Burt Reynolds Hall.
That's next to Bruce Reynolds.
That's right. It's Hall, right next door.
Yeah, right next door.
Brothers having the two dorms right next to each other. Oh man, it won't be long now before we lose Bruce too. Bruce Reynolds.
God, I hope not.
Mark, what's your next question?
Here is my next question. What TV show was a spinoff of Good Morning Miss Bliss?
I know this one, too.
Do you?
I do.
That's good, because this is way out of my wheelhouse.
I do. This was, I believe, in the 70s with a young John Travolta. No, wait. First, I was going to say, Welcome Back, Cotter.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm having second thoughts. Is it Saved by the Bell?
I honestly have no idea.
Good morning, Miss Bliss.
Wait. Miss Bliss wasn't that their teacher on Saved by the Bell?
I think so.
I think we got to go with Saved by the Bell then.
Yep. Welcome Back, Cotter might have been a spinoff, but I don't think.
But Miss Bliss, yeah. I remember Zach Morris saying.
It's a very 90s name. It's not a very 70s name.
I think I remember her
saying.
Yeah,
let's go with Saved by the Bell.
That's correct.
Yes.
Saved by the Bell.
Nice. Lucky round. Adam, you got a second question for us?
I do.
What do we got?
I've got something for you.
We're just going in the round here.
Let's go with a China question.
Okay. China question.
All right. So with a total population of more than 1.4 billion people, China is the most populous country in the world. On average, one in every how many people on Earth are Chinese? So on average, one in every how many people are Chinese?
How many people are on the planet total, do you think?
6 billion. Well, it's probably more than 6 billion now, but I remember hitting 6 billion like 2008 or something.
2008?
Something like that, I think.
I thought it was earlier than that. 6 billion?
Well, I'm old. And
I feel like
point,
that was like the late 90s, maybe early 2000s. I feel like we're like to like 11 billion, 12 billion.
Really? You know people die, right?
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure people are also living longer.
How many people are in the world?
Whoa, is this legal? Can we do this?
Yeah, I don't feel like this is legal in any way.
Yeah, Mark is asking his phone in case he wasn't just asking rhetorically.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's part of the question, my friend.
Yeah.
So I've given you half of a math problem.
He forgot his own rules here.
I didn't even remember the number you said. So just don't
He asked 1.4 are in China.
Well, now I think I know. Or close to it.
Is the answer on your phone?
Wait,
right
1.4 million or billion?
Billion.
Okay.
I'm going to say, did you figure out how many people there are?
I got
a
rough idea.
Oh boy.
By cheating.
Well, yeah. Mark, you're disqualified for this question.
I'm just going to say again, I told you not to tell me the number, and you told me the number. I said, I don't remember the number, and you said,
what
was 1.6.
This is Adam's question.
That was just a, can you repeat the question?
Yeah. Adam, he's got this problem where he likes to use his phone at Three Pepper.
Oh, my Christ.
He's certainly
can't be
holding
separated.
His phone.
Can't
I'll say
this is ridiculous.
Yeah. Sorry, we have to grief you a little bit on this, man.
Wow.
This is a recurring problem, you know.
Well,
you,
some of
you
us
were
wouldn't
just,
call it a problem.
I mean, I don't know what your rules are at your trivia, but at my trivia, it says right at the bottom of the sheet that there's no phones allowed.
Right.
So people don't even use their phones at your trivia?
Certainly
during trivia. You and Lee are so much alike, it's sick.
Yeah, get with the times, man. Maybe you need to step up.
No, I think you guys need to step down.
You got cheaters in your midst that
got scared off and did not win anything.
Seems like they're rubbing off on you a little bit. You're like sitting here looking up information. You don't watch out, I'm gonna
rub off on you.
Well, that's for the Patreon listeners only.
That's an exclusive. That's an exclusive. All right, let's get back to this question here. Okay. We've got to disqualify
Lee,
you.
Lee, you, yeah, you take,
I would love
take
to have
care
help.
Of this one.
I would love to
yeah,
have
Yeah, I
help,
would have loved to help.
But, yeah, you can only give me poisoned factual information at this point. Indeed. I'm going to say there's around 12 billion people, so 1.4. You want to go a little lower, I guess. So I'm going to say 1 out of 10.
What if I told you that 1 in every 6 people is Indian?
Look, math is not my strong suit, so
it's 1 in
5. I'd rather
five.
You keep that information yourself.
1
oh, okay.
in every 5. Oh, 1 in every 5 people right. are Chinese.
There okay. are 7.5 billion people in the world.
Oh, okay, so I did overshoot it quite
a
bit.
There's a bit of rounding.
And you know what? I'm fine knowing that I was not wrong in the amount of people in the world, so I can go ahead and die on that hill.
That's good,
fine
man.
With
pat,
me.
Pat yourself on the back there.
Mm-hmm. I will.
All right, I'm going to give you guys a
7.53 billion as of 2017.
Very important information that I now know.
There you go.
Not 12 billion people. Right. I think I watch too many futurist TED Talks, and they're always talking about population spikes. I'm like, there's got to be way more people. Okay.
Can you imagine if women started having litters of children exclusively?
Oh, by the way, in China, 0% of my groups got that question correct.
Oh,
wow.
Interesting. So that's a very difficult
and there
question.
And there were certainly
then.
1 in 5 Chinese people in the room.
Oh, right. Yeah. There you go. They could have just perfect. Looked around and had a good guess.
Yeah.
All right. My third question for you guys is a homonym question. So it's a word that has dual meaning. Here we go.
I like it.
Which type of bird's name is also a verb that means to complain? A bird's name, and it also is a verb that means to complain.
To crow? Nah. Ooh. Crow is usually to...
That's not bad.
To boast.
I thought of, like, the chickadee. But that's not a verb at all. So that one's thrown out immediately.
Bird.
Don't chickadee me.
Yeah.
To complain. To
complain.
Oh man, this is a good one.
That is a good
Thank
one.
Thank you.
What about the warbler?
To
warble?
Yeah, he was warbling all last night.
It does sound sort of negative.
Yeah.
The kingfisher, but I mean that's a verb, but it's obviously
gee whiz. Have we said it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
To
I'm liking this sick voice that I have. Yeah. No.
Is this a common bird or is it going to be like you're going to have to define the bird and tell us where it's from and what it looks like?
I think when I tell you the answer, you're going to go, oh, yeah, I've heard that,
okay,
I've
okay.
heard that bird before.
Right. What about like a sparrow? Nope. You've got your swallow. You're swift.
I would probably work the other way, though. I would think of complaining
yeah,
words
probably,
first.
Yeah, that's pretty smart.
Yeah.
That's probably smart.
To complain. To gripe.
Ooh, that's good.
Is there a bird called a gripe?
It could be.
I don't know why that, like, really... As soon as I said it, I was like, there's probably a bird called a fucking gripe.
It does sound like a avian. It sounds like an avian word.
I'm David Attenborough. Here we see... You can put some bird sounds
that
in
was
here.
That,
the yellow-breasted gripe.
See. Shh, you gotta be quiet, because they're
that's
fucking
not how
birds,
David Attenborough
dude.
Sounds.
Here you can see, in its natural habitat, the yellow-breasted gripe, searching for its first warm of the day.
He sounds like, you sound like you're doing, like, David Attenborough and the crocodile hunter have,
oh,
like,
yeah,
a
probably.
Baby.
Yeah.
And he's, like, half Australian,
a fine
half
line.
British.
A fine line.
I don't feel like when I watch David Attenborough docs that he's ever really quiet. He seems always jovial, like, oh, look at this little, like John Hammond, you know, look at this thing here. And also, if you've ever seen, look up him reacting to the blue whale. That is quite spectacular.
I like the scene in Secret Life of Plants where he stings himself with the nettle in slow motion.
I haven't seen that.
He's like got his arm out and he's like, the stinging nettle. And he like rubs it against his arm and you're like, oh God. And then he's like, it itches and it burns and it's crazy. Yeah.
I must not fear. There's some cat who does
that shit who specifically gets stung by stuff that hurts a lot.
He's a YouTube
star.
That's
his old thing. Yeah. That's his whole thing. Weird. Yeah.
The New York Times has profiled him or something.
Yeah, that sounds
good. We're
going
to go with a gripe.
So close. The answer is the grouse.
Oh, the grouse.
I've never heard that word used for complaining.
I know a grouse.
I know what a grouse. I've heard of a grouse as a bird. I've never heard of a grouse as a verb for complaining.
No, I've heard it. Yeah. Oh,
well,
to grouse about.
Yeah. That means you are 100% involved in fucking
that. That's that feeling, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is correct.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think that's a good state you want your players to be in. If they get it wrong, is like, oh, I should have known that.
It's
you
better
know,
than...
That's like...
Yeah.
Which I've had several times in recent weeks.
Are you ready for your last question?
Asking about turbo and cabulators. Yes, I'm ready.
I'm going to give you a question kind of in line with Homeboy's question.
A population
earlier.
Question?
Nope.
Oh.
Hey, what the hell is this illness?
Okay.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for me to find it again? Because I just want... Okay. A person suffering from epistaxis is suffering from what? A person suffering from epistaxis.
Wow.
E-P-I-S-T-A-X-I-S is suffering from what?
So, EpiPen is for allergic reactions.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's got something...
Like allergic... shock or something like
that?
Yeah,
like an allergic reaction?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. So,
I mean,
that was my first thought. For some reason, if you weren't here, I was going to say, it is for allergic reaction, though. You're sure about that, right?
EpiPen?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, I mean, for some reason, I know you're right now, but in my head, I was thinking that it was related to, like, an insulin shot for diabetes, so I was going blood sugar, but you're right. You're right. Now that I think about the times I've seen the EpiPen among my friends, it's... People
I'm a
that
teacher,
are allergic
man.
To things. Yeah. You're right. You're absolutely right.
And that is not to say that I'm more intelligent. It's that I've been around EpiPens.
Right. Yeah. Probably
for
several.
Those dangerous peanut allergies.
Right.
I wasn't like, I'm a teacher, my friend, so.
Right. Maybe you can verify this. I've heard that peanut allergies, too, they can actually be developed by a lack of exposure to peanuts in childhood.
I've also heard that. There is almost no such thing as peanut allergies in China.
Okay.
There's peanuts in, like, our lunch food almost every day.
So is this on par with, like, gluten allergies here in the States? Where
I think so.
It's kind of like...
there are some very serious ones. Mm-hmm. You know, like you can, of course, just be born and, like, you're just never going to be able to eat peanuts.
Yeah.
But I've also heard that if you don't introduce peanuts to a baby's diet soon enough, they develop... an intolerance.
Do you think that happens with other, it can happen with other nuts and legumes as well?
Don't know.
Interesting. So yeah, let's go with that allergic reaction on that one.
Okay.
The correct answer is nosebleed.
Oh.
Nosebleed.
I don't get it.
We were very much off.
Disappointed. I'm disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, good to know. Epistaxis is a nosebleed.
Epistaxis.
Yep. Adam, another question?
Absolutely.
Now you know.
Close us out here in round one.
For sure. All right. Do you guys play chess?
Yeah, I've played.
Okay. I've played a long time ago.
I am not like a huge player. I'm too impatient.
Perfect.
I'm slightly less of a huge player than Mark.
So, in the game of chess, most pieces are captured by occupying the space of an opponent's piece and then removing their piece from play. There is one move where the opponent's piece is captured without... occupying the opponent's space at all. This rule was one of the two most recent additions to the game, added sometime between 1200 and 1600. The most recent update of chess rules.
Perfect.
In the 1600s. What is the name of this rule?
Do you know this, Mark?
Hell no, I don't know this.
I can see it in my mind. I can skip it in my mind. It's the move where if you're a pawn, you can move to the side of a opposing pawn. I might be wrong and you can correct me after, after we submit our answer, Adam. But I believe if the opponent's pawn is three spaces up, you can move to the diagonal, and their pieces, their pawn is removed, so you actually end up next to where they were.
That does sound vaguely familiar.
And it's called... It's not...
Pawning.
It's clearly not castling. It's not pawning. It's, it could have a...
Best I can do is 250.
Pawn Stars. Chess edition.
They'd have to call it Porn Stars.
Am I barking up the right tree here?
You are barking up so the right tree.
Okay. What is this thing called? What is this maneuver?
Well, I have no clue.
Hmm.
You are the bark on the tree.
Yeah. I'm just hugging the tree.
You're so close to it. You're part of the tree.
Damn, what is this thing called?
It's called siding. What were
you about to say, Lee? You said I think it's in
No, I don't remember.
Oh.
Hmm.
Okay. Cuz I thought you were going to name
I was going to say maybe it's French.
Ah.
Is it French?
Now you're really barking up the tree.
Oh. This is destroying me.
Because I could see it on your face that you were about to say French. I would accept the English translation as well.
I'm just watching this. I'm just spectating.
It's got like three syllables, right? Like that, right? And the first and the third are the same word?
The first and no. The first and the third are not the same word.
Oh, okay.
No, it's two words.
Were you thinking vis-a-vis?
No. No, that's the structure I was thinking of.
Right.
I thought it was like.
It is three syllables, but it's two words. It's also two words and three syllables in English as well.
I don't know that helps. It's on the tip of my tongue.
I broke my glasses.
They look good, though. You can't tell.
I went and got some new ones today, but they're not going to be ready for a fucking week. I'm so pissed.
Yeah. It's that time of year. Everybody stops working.
Seriously.
This time of year.
Yeah, man.
Do you guys want to call time on this one?
Yeah. What do we got?
So you've described the rule almost perfectly, I think.
Okay.
It does have to do with a pawn. It is two pawns, actually. So your pawn and your opponent's pawn. It has to be pawns.
Uh-huh.
And your pawn would have to have moved two on its first move next to the other pawn. So, like, they could never actually touch.
So they're adjacent to each other when you initiate this.
Yes, and then your pawn moves in behind.
Right.
And you take the piece passant.
In passant, in passing.
In passing.
In passing. God damn it. Oh, man. Wow. Great question. I love that question, actually.
Yeah, that question was a 50% night I asked it.
Wow.
50%.
That's
good. A lot of chess players over there in your player pool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, cool. Well, that concludes round number one. Thanks for all those great questions, Adam. We're going to be right back in round number two. We've got some best worst answers and more questions coming your way. Before we get into round number two and more details from Adam about his trivia night, we're going to do a little best worst answer.
Best worst answer?
All right. That's fine. I'll give you 7 on the landing on that one.
Thank you.
Okay.
Best worst answer is a hard thing to say real fast.
It is.
Right, my question is real easy. Best worst answer. There's too much.
Sounded real easy when you did it that time.
Plus, we just totally ripped off that melody. I don't even know what it is.
It's terrible.
It's such a cliche melody.
Yeah.
We really need a new theme for best worst answer, but this is what we're using right now.
Yep.
I gave out the question, what classic rock album, and again, this is one that everybody got wrong the first time around, but this time, several got it right. What classic rock album, first released on June 4th, 1984, and with a name highly relevant to the question, was the first to be pressed as a CD in the United States? It is, of course, Bruce Stringsteen's String Cheese.
Never give me a hard time about best worst answer again.
Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. Little Lulu wrote down Made in America.
So close.
Can I say something about when you asked that question?
Yeah.
That made it so awesome.
Yeah.
The first time you read the question, you said first record to be pressed.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
were like, what? The first record in the yep. United States was made in the 80s? Right, we were like, right. No way. We were like, Elvis was pressed here. And
yeah.
Then, yeah.
Oops. That's right. I messed up.
That was awesome.
It was a CD. What do you got,
We
Mark?
Were racking our brains.
So I had a question. What 1997 epic was retitled, His Powerful Device Makes Him Famous for Hong Kong release? It's a movie. Do you have any guesses?
His powerful device makes him famous. What's the year? What it was?
1997, I believe I said.
Mm-hmm. It was a movie?
Yes.
You're on your own because I was there.
His powerful device makes him famous?
Yes.
97.
Yes.
2 years before The Matrix.
Yes.
His powerful device.
A couple of guesses I had. Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, which was not made in 1997 at all.
It's too late for that.
Titanic. Batman.
Yeah, not that.
Lord of the Rings, not 1997.
You know which one you should read, Mark? You should read ours.
I should read yours. Well, theirs is right. None of these are right. Do you have any guesses?
No, I'm blanking on this one right now. It's powerful device.
Back to the Future was a guess.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone familiar with the podcast.
Again, too late.
Bill
there.
And Ted's Excellent Adventure. I don't know if these people know what 1997 means. Indiana Jones. The correct answer was Boogie Nights.
Ah! Mm. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Boogie Nights, yeah. Yeah.
I like that. That's a cheeky title. His powerful
it
device.
Is. Yeah, absolutely.
Because you get
I think
to see
I prefer
Mark,
that title.
Mark, yeah, Mark Wahlberg's big old dong at the end of that movie. He like.
Well, it's not his old dong.
Well, it's
prosthetic.
It's prosthetic,
it's
I
his
think,
fake
right?
dong.
But he looks in the mirror and he says, "I'm good enough. I'm strong enough. And gosh darn it, people like me," or something like that. What does he say? It's something more vulgar. He's like, "You know how to fuck good. Now you get out there and fuck me.
Yeah, something like
that. You. That's me in the mirror." Yeah, that movie, I love like starting that movie, and then by the end I'm like, why am I watching this? You know, it's like, oh yeah, the 70s, it's fun, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the other movie, you're seeing everybody's life spiral out of control, you know, based on their... Anyways, I had a couple more best worst answers. I asked, what 9-letter S word is the longest word in the English language with only one vowel? Seth wrote simply, I hate you. I hate you. Which,
good guess.
I think that is 9 letters. So, no, 8. Notorious M-O-I-S-T, the Moist team, they wrote down stupid with a Y. So there's a U and then the Y. They try to go with that sometimes. A vowel, sometimes not, but that's not correct. And then team wrote down shit, I lost. Definitely 9 letters there. The correct answer is of course, strengths. Strengths. Is the 9-letter... longest word in the English language with only one vowel.
I think my team wrote suck the dick.
And crossed, oh, really?
And crossed off some of the vowels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't get that in the show notes here. I should have read that.
It's okay.
I'm glad you're here.
I'm just remembering something. We wrote down something like that.
Another funny answer I had was, Howard Rourke is the main character in what Ayn Rand novel?
Mm-hmm.
And someone wrote down Keith.
Keith?
Keith.
Keith.
Ayn Rand's Keith.
Ayn Rand. Keith.
I also had a lot of anger over one of my questions.
What's
that
the
I
real answer
wanted...
to that? Is that Ella Shrugged?
It is.
Yeah.
Or no, I'm sorry.
Not,
the
yeah.
Fountainhead.
Oh, okay. Right.
I just said, yeah, because I hate Ayn Rand. Mm. So I had a question, and I kind of wanted... I should have probably done this under Rate My Questions.
Mm-hmm.
But
Let's
it's more like Rate
right
My
now.
Answers.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a Rate My Answer?
Sure.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Rate My Answer.
So the question... the affirming nod to Adam. So here was the question. Hessians were mercenaries or soldiers from what country who fought alongside the British during the American Revolution?
Hessians?
Hessians. H-E-S-S-I-A-N-S.
They're from what country?
That's right. That's the question.
I'm feeling kind of German on that. I don't know.
Don't look at me. I was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you know the answer.
I know the answer, yeah.
Is it German?
It is.
It is,
okay.
Yeah.
So, we had a number of teams write down Prussian.
Yeah.
Now, when I look it up, and when you look it up on Wikipedia, and you look up Hessians with soldier in parentheses, it says German. German soldiers, German.
But Prussia was
so,
part of Germany. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was like, hey, you know, look, it says German. And there was one team in particular who was very salty and very, very angry. And I was like, I even looked up videos and everything said German, like everything.
But they were the Prussian masters. They knew everything about Prussia and they wanted the
points
for
this. They
were
like, well, Germany wasn't a country. And I was like,
yeah,
look, man, like I was just,
you can solve that just by adding modern. Country.
Yeah, that's,
which modern country?
That's a question. I mean, this is kind of a rate my question in a way.
It is. It is. Yeah.
It lacks specificity in a sense.
But that kind of thing's annoying.
Yeah.
And then when you get a little more specific, you can, you know.
And I probably would have been willing to throw them some points, but they were being such such jerk-offs about it. I was like,
they didn't want to defer to the authority.
I was like, yeah, man, sorry. I don't know. Yeah. Look, I mean, look right here, right here. Yeah. And there was a, I looked under like something else and it was like, oh, these Hessians fought alongside Prussian soldiers. I was like, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
I had a similar moment last night, but I got off easy because I had, I just had facts on my side that I could bust out later. And it's not as controversial, I guess, as your question. But I asked at my Christmas trivia at Bury Me Brewing. This is a question that you've asked me. I believe you asked me this on the podcast. What is the name? I just rephrased it for last night. This was my final question, too. So it was a big wager moment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people lost a lot of points on this question. What is the name of the toy store featured in Home Alone 2? Lost in New York. Adam?
Ooh.
Do you know this one?
That's you asked this on the podcast.
That's a garbage.
Did I ask you? I thought you might have asked me.
I think you may have asked this at one of the trivias. I can't remember.
I've definitely asked it before in different, but I just thought for Christmas
I know it.
Trivia.
It's a garbage movie. So.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you like the first one?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay.
When you asked before, I think you may have said that it had recently come back from bankruptcy. Or something like that, or it had recently come back.
I don't know, but do you know the answer?
I think it's F.A.O. Schwartz, isn't it?
No, that's the thing.
Oh.
That's the thing. A lot of people wrote down F.A.O. Schwartz, and I got in all these answer sheets. You know, 12 teams, F.A.O. Schwartz, F.A.O. Schwartz, right. F.A.O. Schwartz. Right. Then I finally
found the answer. That got you feeling uneasy about it, right?
Yeah, yeah, because a lot of people wagered 21
like,
on this answer.
Second.
And I had to look it up because the answer I was looking for is Duncan's Toy Chest.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the name of the store in the movie. And I was like, okay, just calm down, reread the question. How did you ask it? And I read it and it said, what is the name of the toy store featured in the movie? So there I'm like, I'm asking for it in the movie, not in real life.
Right.
What's it called in the movie? But then
was it filmed at FAO Schwartz?
Well, upon further research, I even got some more cards in my back pocket up my sleeves because they did not film it at FAO Schwartz. They built a lookalike store. It was inspired by FAO Schwartz.
Inspired by.
But they built a set.
Based on the true store.
Right, exactly. So FAO Schwartz is not correct at all. You know, if I was to ask what is it based on, that
right,
would be
right,
the right
you're
answer.
Right. We get it.
But it was not easy telling a bunch of teams like, hey, I know you went big on this, 21 points.
Well,
and
I mean,
I know it feels
know,
right, but
it's kind of like you said before when you asked that question about Playgirl. It's like, would I have made it the last question if it's FAO Schwartz?
Right. Yeah.
You know, like it's supposed to be a little trickier, a little hard. I mean, my last question last night was one team got it and it was a team that cheated. So
that question was impossible.
Well,
but I mean, but should
no,
I go
I'm not
ahead
saying
and
it's
ask
bad.
It?
I'm not saying it's a bad question. I'm just saying like it was
but
very,
I mean, that's, but it's,
very
but
hard.
You, it's a song everyone knows.
What was the question?
What famous song did Gene Chandler have in 1962?
Gene Chandler?
Gene Chandler. Who the fuck is he?
That's where you just shrug. That's where you're like,
Lee Shrugged.
1962?
Yep. I called it a one-hit wonder, but apparently he had another big song.
We wrote down 1 point on this one.
Yeah.
And they wrote down the answer, fart, which is why I will not give people points on their base and they're just fucking putting
it on. It's a good best worst answer, though. Actually, it's not even that good of a one.
No, it's not.
It's kind of a lazy.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even trying to be clever.
No.
Gene Chandler.
Gene Chandler. Who is this man?
1962.
1962.
It's not coming to me. I don't know it.
The answer is, and it became his nickname, the Duke, Duke of Earl.
Oh, Duke of Earl.
Everybody knows the song. Earl, no one knows Duke who fucking Earl. Sings it.
Gene Chandler, Gene Chandler,
Gene Chandler, Bing.
From the Friends show.
It's Duke the Friends Earl. Show. You could probably ask questions about Friends, right? That's a pretty international show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can ask questions about whatever you want.
Yeah.
Let's ask Adam another question. You said you do a couple of things differently at your trivia that we don't do at ours here back in Florida.
That's correct.
Why don't you share?
I've got a couple of unique
your personal kind of touches.
My personal touches. So I mentioned the Chinese questions, which are always fun. But I also do I do something that I call based on tonight. That's the category.
Ooh.
Based on tonight.
Sounds sensual.
Who released the song Waiting for Tonight?
Waiting for tonight.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Really? Gene Chandler.
I thought of this earlier today. I was like, maybe this would be a good question, and I thought it would be too easy.
I know it's some kind of dance thing.
I believe it's the debut... No, it can't be the debut single.
I smell a miscorrection coming.
It's the first one. Yeah. Uncertainty in the air. Jennifer Lopez.
Really?
Yep.
Maybe.
Oh, Mark is... he's got his phone out.
All right, so...
I believe I saw that when I was in middle school on VH1 after school. I vaguely remember J-Lo. She's wearing a white and silver outfit. And I was like...
Like she does?
J-Lo.
She is so gorgeous. Jeez.
J-Lo.
So my based on tonight category is made up of questions that can only be answered based on, you guessed it, tonight.
Right.
So they're questions about the room.
Oh.
That we're in, not the room physically, but about our situation. So I've asked things like, there's 24 people here at trivia tonight. How many nationalities are represented? And so some people can count them up because we know almost all, you know, almost everyone.
Yeah.
But there that night I asked that question, there were two teams of people who didn't work at our school.
Oh.
So, and those teams comprised like 7 nationalities. So
you're just asking them the stereotype, basically.
No,
the
not
strangers.
Not a stereotype. I'm asking them to go talk to.
Oh,
the
okay.
Other teams.
So you're allowed to intermingle.
Oh,
and
why
stuff
not?
Like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like they can mostly count up who they know. Like, okay, she's American. He's Canadian. She's Indonesian. He, you know, and then they might have to go talk to the other people. Like, hey, where are you guys from?
I like that. So it's a little hyper-localized. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm going around, I'll ask some of my players, like, what are you interested in? Mm-hmm. You know, what topics do you like? And I might swap some questions out
on the
fly, you know, especially if they're new, you know, just to give them welcome to trivia, you know.
So I do another one that's a little bit more complicated.
Uh-huh.
So this one I call Last Week Connection. So one of my questions this week contains the answer to one of next week's questions. So the lead up to this week's question is the answer or enough information to get the answer for next week. So I'm going to give you a little couplet.
Sure.
So this week I might ask, since the first modern Olympics were held in 1896, what are the only 3 years in which the Olympics have not been held as scheduled?
Well, I have no idea.
Yeah.
Wait. So what are the only 3 years that the Olympics weren't held as scheduled? I can't remember any
of my
lifetime.
I mean, one of them has to be, I probably wouldn't even get close. I'm sure one of them was around World War II.
Mm-hmm. Like 1943.
There was one that was canceled in like the 1970s or 80s, I think.
The Olympics, they always happen on even years, right?
Yeah.
So 42, and then you said one in the 80s?
I think so, or like 1970s.
I should clarify. I think this is just Summer Olympics. Summer Olympics. Not that you guys are really nailing that down.
Yeah, now I'll have to make two lists in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know. This one's tough. If we had more time, I'd probably.
This is
work
a very,
on
very
a
hard
bit.
Question.
Yeah, I like it though.
I would probably say it's too
was,
hard. I would probably go with how many years did the Olympics not go on as scheduled? Because I think naming the years is fucking.
Well, here's
Jesus.
Something we could kind of talk about is the difference in my audience compared to the audiences that you guys have, your players.
Yeah.
Because this was not a difficult question. For my group.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Just dummies like us.
Very interesting.
But you have to remember, it's almost all teachers.
Yeah.
So
do they teach the Olympics?
No, because, but I mean... they know a lot of stuff. We've got some. Yeah, two PE teachers that are there. We've got
a PE teacher knowing the fucking 3 years that the Olympics didn't go on. Well, still baffles
it's
me.
It's just
what do you think they're training
out.
For, man?
What if I gave you some hints? One time it was canceled because of World War One, and two times it was canceled because of World War Two.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
I
mean, 42, 46,
so what I have to do is, because, well, I mean, it could be, it wouldn't be 42 and 40, or it could be 44 and 40, well, it couldn't be 48, I guess. Yeah, I mean, I guess you go 42, 46,
I'm just staring at Mark, like, let him work it out.
19.
14?
Yeah.
14, 42, 46.
Ooh, you guys are so close. You're just off by 2 years.
Oh, really?
On all of them.
Oh, that's wow. What I was thinking. That's what I was going to say is
yeah.
So 16, we could be the wrong evens. 40 and 44, because the Olympics are every 4 years. Mm-hmm. So right. The summer is every 4 years. The winter is the other every four years. Right?
Yeah. And you said they were all summers.
So if you heard that question this week, next week you would hear the question, in what year was the first modern Olympic Games held? And I've just told you moments ago. My normal players have to wait 7 days.
1896?
Yes, 1896.
Very nice.
So that question becomes fun because, or I think it's fun. I hope my players think it's fun because they go, oh, God damn it.
Right.
This is the one from last week.
It hurts extra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It hurts
and
extra.
And this is kind of like what we were talking about with the guy who knows everything, you know, which is... The benefit of coming and then coming again next week is mm-hmm. knowing what the winning team had picked as the theme for one of the questions next week. So there's a benefit to being there.
Yeah.
You know, that makes you want to come out every week so that way you know at least with the one. Or like what Lee and I talked about, you know, giving away hints and stuff like that on the trivia podcast
mm-hmm.
for people to listen to. And tell people, you know, look, if you listen to this podcast, listen to the whole thing, there are going to be like a hint, you know, maybe a hint or two or whatever. So
there's one tiny little other game mechanic that I like that actually, you know, plays well with that. So I have a guest question. So I have a little box at the bottom of the third sheet.
Yeah.
Where my players can write their own question in.
Ooh.
And they get a bonus point. So okay. It's almost like you're, it's like.
If it's used.
No.
Oh, okay.
If it's acceptable. Oh. So I read it quickly and decide like, okay, I can turn that into a good question.
Yeah.
Because typically I have to rewrite them.
Yeah.
But if it's like a dumb question,
yeah,
they don't
get
a point.
Yeah, put some sauce on it.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah.
So they get
wet.
Just an extra point, and then I just add it to my question bank to be used at a later time.
Oh, that's cool.
So some people show up a couple weeks later and then like, they're, oh, that's the question I asked.
Cool.
It's kind of fun.
Thanks for sharing those with us, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead and get into round two questions.
Let's do it.
Would you like to go first, Mark?
Well, you went first last round, so it should either be Homeboy or me.
Well, I'd feel weird going first and then asking the guest. You kind of leave me out, hanging out to dry there. You know, if you don't
it does
go.
Seem rude. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm reflecting on my behavior.
All right. Let me find some good ones here because I'm going in the repository because Mr. Adam was at my trivia last night.
Keeping it fresh.
Let me ask you a question about China.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. What board game invented in ancient China over 2,500 years ago is believed to be the oldest still played today?
Lee, do you want to go on this one?
I think you might have just said the answer.
I did? Yeah.
Guys!
Yeah. Yep. It's Go, right?
Do you want to give it a go?
That's correct.
Yeah. It's Go. Yeah. My only other thought might have been backgammon, but with the China hint, clearly Go. Yeah.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah. Adam, how about you? You got a question for us?
I do. Okay.
Let's hear it.
All right. So San Francisco, California,
mm-hmm.
one of the most well-known cities in the world, shares its name with 1,016 other cities across the globe.
Interesting.
Which places it fifth for most common city name? What city name is most common shared by 1,246 cities?
Are you telling me that there's over 1,000 cities named San Francisco?
1,016, yes.
That is crazy new knowledge to me.
Yeah.
It seems almost like a Mandela effect type thing. What? So there's like a San Francisco, Georgia, maybe, or something like that. I mean, there clearly isn't. I feel like we'd hear about that.
Well, they're, you know, it's not, well, you gotta it's think not in of the United States.
In the country, yeah. I mean,
it's all
like
over the globe.
Spanish-speaking places.
Yeah.
means Saint Francisco. I mean, I'm sure.
Is there another one in the United States, though? San Francisco?
Who the hell cares? Probably. Why are you
That's
so
not what the question's about.
I don't know. I know.
So what is the question,
buying time. I'm buying time
so
right now.
What is the most common city name?
In the world.
In the world.
San Francisco's fifth?
Mm-hmm.
Common city name.
In the world.
And as seasoned trivia quiz masters, quiz question writers, you know that San Francisco's not only in there, just for fun. It's also a hint.
Of course I knew that.
Well, I was thinking it's definitely not something in English.
I was going to ask, is there a Florida connection here?
No Florida connection. No? Well, I mean, there might be.
I was thinking Naples, maybe.
Yeah, there could be, but...
You would have said yes if it was Naples. You'd have been like, oh yeah, you would know this.
I'm thinking of another sand name. If San Francisco is so popular, what about San Diego?
Maybe. Or...
San Junipero.
Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. Just renewed.
Mm.
Me and Mark are both big fans. You like
Black
Mirror?
I like Black Mirror, yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't know why, but like Los Angeles? I'm thinking of other California places.
A thousand.
You're stuck on the fact that there's so many San Franciscos.
I'm trying to think of another. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you blew my mind with the first part of the question. And now I'm like, what's more popular? I don't know, man. I mean, I like the idea of going with California. You know, there's a...
Do you want a little guidance?
Is it Spanish?
It is.
The name?
Yeah.
Mm, yep.
And also think about Catholicism as well.
Santa Maria.
Mm. Yeah. I like that idea. Santa Maria. What is the Spanish word for Sunday?
Domingo.
Right. Is Santo Domingo a city name? I don't know why that's coming.
Yeah, I think so.
Coming to me. Do you like that better than Santa Maria? Santa Maria, though, I feel like, I don't know. That definitely seems more popular.
I don't know.
I like Santa Maria. Let's go with it. It seems like an educated guess, at least.
We'll go with Santa Maria.
It is correct. Santa Maria.
Oh, there nice. It is. Nice, man.
Well
hey,
done.
Hey.
I did give you some hints, though.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't get there on our own. All right. I have a famous quotes question for y'all. Benjamin Franklin once keenly observed that what two items stink after 3 days? Finish that.
Shall I do one and you do the other? Do you know this?
I don't know.
I believe I know it, but do you want the first stab?
I'll read it for you one more time, Mark.
You want me to just go for it?
Go for it.
So after 3 days, fish and guests stink.
That's right. I thought it'd be appropriate since we have you here, our guest on the podcast.
I've never heard that.
We're still on day one, though, so you're good. You're good. You haven't heard that one?
No.
Fish and visitors stink after 3 days?
No.
He was such a witty fella.
He
ben
was.
Huh. Yep.
That's clever.
Yep.
That's cute. I didn't know that it would. That was that well known of a phrase.
I thought
we were just gonna like completely fucking guess.
Oh no!
Everything stinks after 3 days. Your balls. I mean,
just a bit of Franklin's grousing.
Must a shower in there.
Is it my turn again?
Yes.
The name of the vehicle PT Cruiser. In that name, what does PT stand for?
I'm gonna bow out on this one because I was at the trivia when you asked.
You know,
this
that was the other thing I was thinking. I'm asking this repository of all this stuff.
And Adam's I've been to like
75% of them. But I'm gonna bow out. But I'll let Lee.
Right. So just going with my gut on this PT, I'm thinking personal transport cruiser. Is that right?
That is correct.
Oh,
well done.
Oh,
well done.
Thanks.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
I feel like
I went to your trivia too many times.
I'd be curious to know what year that was from. I just know it's far back, but
well, you can. Your repository is a Google Docs, and being a Google Docs expert myself, you can look and see when you made that edit.
I might be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I'd have to look. I mean, it's all in one large. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know.
Yeah.
You've seen it.
I have.
Adam, you got another question for us?
I do, sure.
What do we got?
All right, let's see. In the year 1900, mm-hmm. what was the tallest human-built structure in the world?
When?
The year 1900.
Tallest built structure. Got a lot of
human built, yeah.
Altitude questions here today.
Yeah, we do.
The roof of the world.
Tallest human built structure.
How did I pull that up?
When was the Eiffel Tower built?
I believe before 1900. I think that's the 19th century, aka 1800s. If I'm doing my math correctly. I have to do it every single time in my head when I'm like, what century is this? Go back to zero. Okay. Don't forget about that 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of the Eiffel Tower in that time period.
See, I'm trying to think of like the Sears Tower when it was built.
That's after 1900. Yeah.
Let's go with Eiffel Tower. I don't really have any better.
Would Adam ask us a question that easy right now?
Well, I don't think that I feel like the Eiffel Tower would not be guessed for some reason.
Well, let's just examine this a little bit further.
Okay.
Let's think about.
When did skyscrapers start getting built?
I don't even know. Well, I would say 20th century, probably, after the Industrial Revolution. So any skyscrapers, I think, are too late for this. But how tall are the pyramids? Are they taller than the Eiffel Tower?
No.
Yeah, dude. I ain't never been to Egypt.
Neither have I.
You certainly can't see one from the other.
And be like, yeah, it's bigger.
A little bit bigger.
This is one of those things.
And I've never been to France either.
Yeah, neither have I.
So I guess I'm fine with the Eiffel Tower. I can't justify it. Eiffel Tower.
Man, I love the way you guys almost talked yourselves out of the correct answer, which is Eiffel Tower. And that one is a bit easier one. That one, I couldn't bring only the hard ones.
Yeah.
That one, my team's got 60% of the time. So 60% right.
Well, 60% isn't terrible.
Yeah. No, that's a medium.
60% of people got Fortnite wrong.
Yes, and I would not guess
that. Or no, 60% got Fortnite right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that. So the same amount of people that knew that the Eiffel Tower was the highest man-made thing by 1900 also know that a Fortnite is 2 weeks.
Might not be the same 60%.
Probably not. I have a music question for you guys. Here we go. What musical group's 1997 self-titled album shares a name with a coastal town near Bristol in the United Kingdom?
Read it again.
What musical group's 1997 self-titled album shares a name with a coastal town near Bristol in the United Kingdom? So it is a band name, it is a self-titled album that came out in 1997, and it shares its name with a coastal town near Bristol in the United Kingdom.
The only other coastal town in the UK that I know, or in England that I know, is Brighton. And that's not really near Bristol. And Brighton, obviously.
I wonder if it's a British band.
I love asking Mark music questions because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you're going to get this. If I could predict the future here, but he needs a second to go to his dark place and say, is it Tok Tok?
I don't know. So it's an album.
It's a self-titled album.
Yeah. So it's an album and a band name.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's named after, it's the same name or named after?
90s.
Same name.
Same name. Shares the name. So not necessarily named after.
No. But it would make sense.
Coastal town. Oasis. It's not the name of a town I know, but it's around 97.
And did they release an album in 97?
Well, and their debut album, or their, well, anyway, the big album that got big was Good. What's the Story, Morning Glory, not Oasis.
And what, but what, was that their first album, though?
I don't know.
Hmm. There's Blur, but that doesn't make a very good town name.
Coastal town. See, I don't even know what towns are on the fucking coast. 1997. Jeez. Is it a British band?
Yeah, they are very close to the area. They're named pretty much from their hometown, basically. They were maybe in the suburbs, if you want to call that suburbs, you know. But it's a nearby town.
Oh, it's the Beatles.
Beatles, UK.
I love that people call people named from Liverpool are called Liverpudlians.
Liverpudlians?
Yeah.
I love stumping you with music questions.
Yeah, I bet you do.
It's my favorite.
I'm sure you do.
This one's especially sweet.
I have another music question.
1997 British band. Album, the same name as the band name.
That's right.
97 debut album.
Plymouth? 17.
I don't know if it's their Plymouth, debut. It would make sense that it would be a self-titled.
Sorry.
What about Plymouth?
I'll look that up.
What about what?
Plymouth.
No.
Sounds like it could be a band name.
But this is going to be a band we know.
Okay.
Lee doesn't...
This is their second album, is their self-titled.
Oh, interesting.
Bush?
Bush isn't
Would
British.
You like a hint on the debut album?
Bush sure.
You're going to get this if okay. I give you this hint.
What a song
the,
title?
The first album came out in 1994. That album is called Dummy.
Oh! Portishead?
That's right.
Portishead, yeah. It's Portishead.
Okay.
That's right.
Wow, definitely I didn't know Portishead was the name of a fucking town.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that? I could have sworn we've talked about that before.
I don't think I knew that.
Wow. Yeah, this one I thought you were going to get immediately, but there you go. Maybe you can add that to your repo.
I will.
All right, you got a question for me? And Adam?
I do. Is this the second or third?
I believe this is your third. You're kicking off the third question round in the second round.
Oof.
Third question round of the second. The penultimate
round.
Of the penultimate round.
I'm glad you guys love my penultimate.
I've been using it lately.
I've carried it on. Yep. It's getting big in China as well. I had it. I forgot to say it a couple weeks ago, and one of my players yelled out,
penultimate. You forgot penultimate. You guys will be happy to know, on Monday night, I did a trivia. I should have used those questions, but I think I've deleted them already. For a local restaurant chain here, 70-something people.
Wow.
And did a food and restaurant-based trivia for them. Totally pulled out the penultimate. Nice. Didn't care. Said, you're getting it. I don't care if you care or not.
Only true local trivia fans know that Mark always introduces the second to last question of each round as the penultimate question.
And then the penultimate round.
It's kind of a thing here.
Kind of what we do.
Yeah.
Who won the first Super Bowl? What team won the first Super Bowl?
This question is perfect for my friend back in Illinois.
Yeah.
Cody Carter.
Too bad he's not here.
Who knows all of this?
Yeah. The first Super Bowl.
All right. So you didn't have a lot of teams back then.
No, you didn't. And I don't know when back then was, though. Did we get a year?
Mm-mm.
No, just got to know.
I don't know that it would have helped.
Yeah. I'm thinking like the 50s, right? 40s or 50s?
I'm not sure. I don't know. The leather helmet years.
So you know this?
Me?
Yeah.
My guess would be the Packers.
That was that was my first gut reaction.
I mean, the trophy's named after...
Oh.
Vince Lombardi, right?
Sure.
Coach of the Packers?
Yeah. Sure. I've heard of the Lombardi.
The Lombardi Trophy? That would be my guess if I didn't have a sports expert on my team.
I have zero knowledge about this, and for some reason Packers was the thing that came into my head, so let's go with it.
That is correct, Green Bay Packers.
Yes!
That's right.
We did it. Wow, these seem like, I don't know. I don't want to say like pretty, I don't know why, I just
I
feel
we're
like
just lucky. We're just
getting a lot
we're
of,
you guys lucky. Are doing really good. I mean, I'm also just kind of like picking some stuff. And not trying to get impossible stuff. I mean, I could ask you guys some tougher ones if you want. But
No. That's all right. I like this casual nature that we got going on here. Adam, you got a third question for this round?
Yeah.
What do we got?
Okay, let's see. I'm going to do a video games question.
Okay.
Lee?
So with over 170 million copies sold, what is the best-selling video game of all time?
Yes. I know this one.
Do you?
I thought you might.
I do.
My guess is Tetris.
I think that's right. That was going to be my answer as well.
I mean, that shit's been around forever. I used to play, so addictive.
I used to play a bootleg on my computer as a kid called Nyet.
Like, yet?
Yeah, which is Russian for no. Which is a weird name for it. Like, just no.
I went on tour.
Is that right?
That is correct.
All right.
It is Tetris.
I wanted to tell my story.
Oh, well, tell it now. I felt like we were moving on.
No, when I was on tour, it must have been like 1998 or 99, maybe 2000, somewhere in there. I went on tour with a ska band I was in. And a lot of driving, you know, nonstop. And I had a Game Boy that I had found right before going on tour. And the only game I had was Tetris.
And the only game you needed.
And I would just sit there and fucking play Tetris till the batteries died, throw new batteries in.
Just one of 170 million copies.
Exactly. A little extra trivia on that one.
Yeah.
The creator, his name has escaped me, but he saw no money from his game that he was solo developer on because of the USSR. When he produced it, it was property of the USSR.
And then he made a game called Nyet and released it as freeware.
Yeah, so I mean, he spent his whole career not making any money off of the most popular video game of all time.
I might say to that,
kids.
I might say to that, oof.
Yes.
Oof.
Oof is a popular. I started realizing how much I say oof.
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 Yeah. Well, that deserves it for sure.
Yeah.
Here's a movie question for our final question, ultimate question of the round.
Ooh.
We just had our penultimate from Adam. Here's the ultimate one. Before Chris Evans and Idris Elba became Marvel heroes, they starred in what 2010 Vertigo Comics film adaptation about a group of rogue CIA agents?
One more time.
Before Chris Evans, it's Captain America, and right. Idris Elba, what's his character's name? Hermione? In Thor?
Hermione.
I forgot he was in Thor.
Heimlock.
I was thinking of him in the
mask
dark
thing, though. I mean, he's like wearing...
No, he's got like a head gold thing. He's
I'm thinking of his role in Star Trek, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's in Star Trek?
I think Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, in Star Trek, he's got a full face. He's got a full face, like, covering.
Huh.
So you don't really...
But what movie did they play rogue CIA agents in? It's a Vertigo Comics series, and it was in 2010 the movie came out.
Yikes. I don't know this one at all.
Vertigo Comics.
So is it a comedy?
No. I mean... It's kind of a comedy in the sense of, like, I think it's...
Like, every spy movie's a comedy.
Smokin' Aces, if you remember that movie, or Crank, you know, it's kind of got that vibe to it. Lucky Number 11, similar movie of the era, starring Josh Hartnett.
Mm-hmm. I liked that movie.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty
good.
I have no idea.
I have no idea.
And the answer is The Losers.
Did not see it.
Really?
Yeah. Never even heard of the comic.
Well, it is a C-tier movie from 2010, before the Marvel movies hit, and Chris Evans and Idris Elba are both in it.
Huh.
Yep. All right. Well, then completes that round. Let's take another short break, and then we'll be back with our final questions.
Oh, yeah.
And we're back. It's time for some final cues.
Final cues?
Final cues.
What is this?
Final questions.
Oh!
Yeah. Q stands for question.
Get with the trivia program, man.
Have you ever seen a dog say, I'm hungry?
No.
You should look up YouTube videos of it. I'm hungry.
Oh, people, I see what you're saying.
People teach their dog say dog I'm hungry. Talking.
Sounds like torture.
I'm hungry. Yeah,
like,
sure.
I don't. If my dog could speak English to me, I would be freaked out and annoyed. Like I don't understand people that have birds and they teach them to talk. Like that would just seem like a nightmare to me.
Well, you because you live with somebody, but I think if you're living alone or whatever, maybe it's comforting to have.
It's nice something. To have someone to talk to.
That's a so bird, sad. Though. A bird, really?
A dog.
I don't want my dog talking to me.
Word.
No.
I wish my dog could talk.
All you right. could be son of Sam.
Right, exactly. That's exactly it. Like I would start to be thinking, is it really saying it's hungry, or is it like I'm hungry for you to murder someone?
Please kill somebody.
Please.
All right, guest Adam.
Yes.
Give us our last question.
Yeah. All yeah. Right. Why don't you fire one at us here? Kick us off.
Here we go. It's a phobia question.
Ooh.
Mark's fave.
I know. I know mean, you love him.
I don't know if it's
you might have fave, an edge. You might have an edge.
He asks a lot of these.
He does,
for sure.
Gamophobia. More common in men than women.
Again.
Yeah, that's actually a little shtick that I fell into back in China. Because it just happened a couple times and it was just extra funny. So gamophobia, more common in men than women, is the fear of what?
You even do the hard H with what, man? You've come from my loins, my sweet son. Oh, see that?
From the best. Can we all silence our phones?
Didn't you say to silence
our phones? I did silence my phone, but that was an alarm.
Oh, okay.
That I've had set for some
gamophobia.
Reason.
Gamophobia.
No, gamophobia, right?
Gam-O.
Gam-O.
G-A-M-M-O?
G-A-M-O.
Gam-O. I did not know that prefix.
Neither do I.
Gammo. I know Gummo. It's the Harmony Korine movie where the kid eats spaghetti in a bathtub.
Ooh, that movie.
Yep.
And he drops his Snickers bar in there and pulls it out and eats it.
Yeah.
He also lifts weights that are just pieces of silverware tied together. Or taped together. I know everything about that movie. I took that movie on a road trip to go see the Hansom family in Georgia, and we brought Mallory.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this movie will be fun for you guys to see because it's so weird. And there are scenes where cats are getting shot with BB guns and hit with bats. And she was like, I looked in my rear view mirror. She was just ashen.
They put like, broken glass and some like tuna fish for the cats to eat as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's a terrible movie.
See, gamophobia, I think that's a fear that's more women than men.
Yeah, it's terrible.
More women than men suffer from gamophobia.
Maybe it's a fear of legs.
Gams? Where does that come from? I thought...
Gams is just something that, you know, it's like an old-timey...
Check out the gams on that broad. I don't know, man.
Let's focus a little more on the... men are more scared of it than women.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we should go with commitment.
Like the fear of marriage?
Sure. I mean, that's kind of a funny answer.
Yeah.
Goes off his little shtick.
Yep.
And I have nothing better.
Commitment, marriage, something along those lines.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think... I'm trying to think of a physical thing that men are typically more scared of than women. Periods?
Menstruation?
Mm-hmm.
Not the grammatical...
Punctuation.
Yeah. Not the punctuation mark.
Right. I don't end the sentence.
Ooh.
I'm just going to have it run on forever.
Let's go with it. Commitment, marriage, something along those lines.
Correct answer would be marriage, commitment, or relationships. Well done.
Nice.
How many people got that shit?
Zero.
Whoa.
Guys.
The trivia master
guys.
Here. Mark Davis, ladies
guys.
And gentlemen.
You guys pulled it out. That's like my let's just go with like the roof of the world.
Funny, you know, this is very, you know, for me, that was very much a knowing you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going
to
point out.
And it's kind of like, you know, when you play to the judge, it's like in Apples for Apples or
Cards Against Humanity.
It's like, well, I know this guy is a sick fuck, so I'm going to put something about being a pederast, and all of a sudden you win.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Fantastic. Wow. That makes me feel mighty fine.
All right. I got a final question for you guys now. This is a Florida-related question. It's not Florida man. Go with Florida woman on this one. Florida woman. In 1998, thousands of people tuned in online. Again, it's 1998, early days. Thousands of people tuned in online to watch Florida's Elizabeth Ann Oliver to be the first to do what in a live broadcast on the internet?
On the internet, 1998.
Elizabeth Ann Oliver is her name.
Tuned in on the internet, the first woman to do what?
Live.
Mm-hmm.
Live.
A live stream.
On the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Give birth.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
Well, I know. Well, look,
Adam's feeling some gamophobia about that answer.
That's not a terrible. That's not a terrible. I mean, guess,
okay. So my mom's email address had 98 in it because this is the year that we got AOL.
Right.
This is the day of like shitty fucking 32 color monitors, et cetera, et cetera. So I mean, this was a while ago.
Yeah. Well,
this is right when like real video was out and shit.
Yeah.
And I could just see someone around, you know, when the internet really started getting big, a woman wanting to be that. People have been selling sex forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it can't be something like that, I don't think. And a lot of stuff is just going to be way too like, I'm thinking it's got to be something kind of female centric.
Yeah. That could be. No, I don't think that's it's not necessarily a bad guess.
It's also a very Florida woman.
It is. Yeah, let's go with it.
That's correct. First woman to give birth. Mark, you might be pleased to know that this all took place at Arnold Palmer Hospital.
I am very happy to know that.
Yep.
God bless the Arizona Tea Arnold Palmer Light, not the zero calorie. Fuck that swill.
I don't like the light. I like the full flavor that they stopped making.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't seen full flavor in a while, but the full flavor is fine too, but the light is my jam.
Yeah, so that's, she volunteered to do it. It was through some health program, actually. It wasn't like a narcissistic, like, I need to do this and put it online and be the first. It was just like, hey, this is a nice family that comes in here. Would you guys be willing to do this, you know, for science?
Would you guys be willing? We'll knock a few percent off your bill.
Yeah, probably.
Was the camera fixated on her vagina?
You know, I did not see it. I'm going to assume yes.
I don't know. I wonder if it was like one of those like leg block in the area shots.
I was thinking at first it may have just been on her face or whatever. But when you said it was like done like in accordance with the hospital or whatever, if it was something where it's like, see, right.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, and I found this article too. I don't know, I can't fact check this quickly, but apparently has a criminal past writing bad checks at superfood centers. And the people that worked at the hospital were like, they are such a nice, warm and loving family. Doesn't fit the character. May or may not have been true. It's also ages ago. But yeah, Elizabeth Ann Oliver, first to give birth on the internet in Florida, right here in Florida.
Fantastic. Here's your guys' last question. We all know what a group of geese is called. A gaggle.
Right, of course. Not a gander.
Unless...
That's what I was thinking.
They are in flight.
Hmm.
When a group of geese are in flight, what are they called?
I almost did an animal grouping question as well.
Right. I asked one on Monday.
Yeah.
Remember?
I ask them fairly frequently.
That's what a group of parrots was called on Monday. Right. That was one. Oh, that had some entertaining answers.
Mm-hmm.
In case you were curious what a group of parrots is called, Mark, do you remember this?
I remember it's not a parliament.
It's not.
That's what we wrote.
Right.
Parliament is owls.
Yeah.
Not to hijack your question here.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you're totally hijacking my shit. I can't off the top of my head.
Pandemonium.
Yes.
A pandemonium.
I knew it was some long word like that.
But geese in flight, they're not a gaggle.
Nope.
They transform into another grouping.
Uh-huh.
It makes me think of that documentary movie about the girl who made the ultralight plane to take the geese she raised home on their
quiche?
First... On their... No, geese.
Oh, I thought we were talking about quiche. They said quiche.
Know if this will give it away or not, but it's the same thing for ducks. It's the same word for a group of ducks in flight.
Hey, look up there. It's geese. It's a of ducks. It's a
Oh, man.
It can't be a flock, right? That would be too
easy.
That
would be too easy. That would be too easy.
Like those boots, Adam.
Thanks.
Can we put a picture of those boots on the show notes?
These boots are buy one, get one free at Rack Room Shoes.
Oh, wow.
At their many locations. I bought them the other day.
Did you get two? Buy one, get one free, you said?
Yeah.
Did you get two?
Wow.
I got this pair and I got a gray pair as well.
Mm.
Gets very cold in Chungcheong.
Yeah. Those are nice. Mark's right.
I appreciate it.
I'm wearing my New Balances from like 13 years ago.
I believe they were $59.99
yeah.
for two pair. $59.99.
Oh, I thought you said $15.99. I was like,
$59.
All right. Anyway, gaggle. Man.
A gaggle?
I'm drawing a blank on this one.
Ooh, me too.
Grouping, a grokking of geese, a g-g-g-g-g-g. Is it alliterative?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
That makes it way harder.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you guys another 45 seconds.
Can you give me a hint?
It's a five-letter word.
Five-letter word?
It's not enough.
No,
that hint is not enough.
A smack of geese.
A smock. I don't know.
You have the right first letter.
This is painful. This is doling out the hints.
Yeah, it feels really awful.
I still seconds. Don't know. Clock's ticking.
15 seconds.
I'm throwing in the towel on this one.
I'm just making up time now.
Oh, man.
Can you speed up this time limit a little bit?
5 seconds, 0 seconds.
All right, what is it?
We can't do it. We can't do it.
The correct answer is a skein. S-K-E-I-N.
Oh.
A skein of geese's or ducks.
I don't
ducks
know
in
if
flight.
There's a number of hints that you could have given me.
No, I don't think we would have gone to skein.
Yeah. sounds like you something
will.
You would see in a movie.
Rhymes with... I can't even think of a word.
Right.
Right.
Extreme.
No.
Sounds like screen.
Very good. Very good. A skein of geese.
I guess I got both of those last questions right.
You
huh?
did. You nailed it.
Yep.
Wow. I'm feeling really good about myself right now.
Well, we had a stronger first.
You
first
guys
part.
Did. No,
yeah,
no.
We
absolutely.
Started strong, yeah. You know, and this is usually actually how I perform at your trivia. First two rounds, I'm
solid.
In.
Solid.
Yep. And then.
Last round, nothing.
Yeah. And your story about these cheaters makes me start to question the last team that beat us. What was it?
They were sitting right in front of me.
Yeah.
There was no way.
But
I was watching
them. They did not have strong first rounds. And
they
all
did.
All of a sudden.
They
all
did.
All right. Well, that concludes another wonderful episode.
What a beautiful episode. Episode 26.
Episode 26.
As we take the march toward 50.
Yes. Mm.
The long march.
The march towards 50.
The march of the volunteers.
Adam, thank you for joining us on this podcast.
Me.
Yeah.
It's truly wonderful to see you again. It's great to have you on the podcast finally. But yeah, it's also great to see you and have you back in town.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
It was great to be here.
Yeah, and thanks for all the wonderful insights about your trivia. If you're a quizmaster and you're listening and you want to write in about how you do different things, we'll, of course, read that and analyze it to death on the show here. That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, a.k.a. The No-No. My name is Lee Brushnida, and you can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers at 7:30. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers, that one at 7. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Mark, where can you be found on Wednesday evenings?
You can find me Wednesday evenings from 9 to 10:30 at good old Nice Guys Pints and Pies, located in historic downtown Cape Coral, Florida.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you had fun. Join
whoa,
us.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What? Oh, yeah.
Where and can we can, find
you? Where in the world you? Can we find Adam Prowitz?
You can find me at Fashioning Beer in lovely Chungcheong, China. It's in the Erdao district at 5 p.m., starting at 5 p.m.
What time is that here in the States?
Every Wednesday. That is 4 a.m. here in Florida.
That'd be early.
4 a.m. on the same day. On the same day.
Could we Skype in?
Absolutely.
Maybe
in the
Lee
past,
and
I've done that. I've done that for your trivia. Remember, I Skyped in from Thailand. years ago.
That's awesome.
I do remember that. Yeah, maybe Lee and I can burn the midnight oil some night and
you're welcome.
Take place.
We'll have some coffee ready.
Yeah, there you go, at the ready.
You will be drinking fashionable beer, and we'll have some coffee. All right. Well, thanks again, Adam. And if you happen to be in, how do you pronounce again?
Chongqing,
China. Check out Adam's trivia on Mondays at 5 p.m. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you had fun. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No on our Patreon. Just go to thenono.com. That's KNOWNO with a the in front of it, .com. And click the support link, and that will take you right to our Patreon page. You can also write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. And of course, please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at NoNonTriv.
Give us those 5 stars.
Yes.
Please.
Our pleading went unanswered last week. I don't know what we got to do. We basically groveled last
week. If you listen to this and you're thinking they're not talking to me, guess what, fucko? We are.
90% of our listeners have not, our regular listeners, through Apple Podcasts, have not reviewed the show yet.
And I mean, how hard is it?
I have indeed.
Yes.
I have put in a 5-star review.
Right.
This motherfucker lives in China.
Yep. I did it from China.
He could be arrested for rating us 5 stars in China, I bet.
Maybe.
Depends on what the review says.
True.
This podcast is better than the country I live in.
But please, and if you're not,
if the country's awesome.
If you don't listen to us on Apple Podcasts, do something. Just share us with a friend if you don't mind. Two friends. 3 friends. 4 friends. 5 friends.
Tell a couple friends.
I searched for trivia on various podcast platforms. You still got to scroll a little bit till you get to us. It would be awesome if you could just type in trivia, and our podcast comes up front.
Boom.
But we need reviews and shares for that. So please help us out if you don't mind. Give us a break. Give us a goddamn break.
Help us.
Help us out. Won't you? Won't you?
Won't you?
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.